Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, Dad.
And welcome. I have my helper with me today. Amy's visiting with us. We're glad to have you today, Amy.
Thanks, Dad.
And it's nice to see lots of friendly and warm faces here today on this beautiful, beautiful Sunday. We're glad to have you here. For those that don't know me, my name is Rich Robison. I'm filling in as the pulpit supply for today during Pastor Martha's absence on her vacation. So we're glad to have you all here. Thank you for the prelude, which if it sounded like it was too complicated for two hands to accomplish, it's because there were four hands. Thank you, Linda and Marilyn, for joining together in that endeavor. I have a couple of things to share in ways of newsy things. One, that we've received a note from Church World Service. Dear friends of First Baptist Church of Malden, thank you for your recent gift of $905 to the Church World Service blanket and tools. Your gift provides warmth and comfort to neighbors in need around the corner and around the world. We appreciate your generosity. In peace, Aaron from the Church World Service. So very nice, and thank all to of you who were generous in your sharing of your gifts. I was reading the American Baptist Ministers and Missionaries annual report and came across a familiar face, the Reverend Dr. Florence King, who had completed 2 years at Andover Theological School, was ordained at the First Baptist Church of Malden in 1988. She received her Master of Divinity degree the following year. She was the first African-American woman to be ordained here at this church. So some of you, I think, probably know Florence. She's been a chaplain, and she's gone on to serve as a pastor. And apparently, when you end up in this magazine, it means that you're moving towards retirement. So I'll leave that so people can enjoy that article as well. It's always nice to be reminded of the impact that this church has had over the years on the many, many, many seminarians and pastors in training and others who have been affiliated with this particular church. You have a very, very laudable history to acknowledge and celebrate. So we're glad to have all of you here today. Are there announcements related to the program of the church or anything like that at this time? Last week, Richard told us that choir will come in September.
10th.
September 10th.
9:45. Don't be late.
Okay. Others? Do you have an announcement for the church?
An AUR.
For a prayer?
Yeah.
Okay, we'll do that in a little while. Okay, sorry. Can it hold? Can you hold it?
It's important.
Okay, you want to tell us now?
Thank you.
Okay.
I want to announce that this fall I'll be auditioning for a musical called Cinderella, as you may know from the Richard and Rodgers and Hammerstein version, and I'll be auditioning this fall in Acton, in Open Door Theater.
Okay, we'll keep you in our prayers for a good, successful audition.
Thanks, Dad.
Okay. You can tell that Amy's interest is drama
and
acting.
Music.
And music. Great. Well, let us join our hearts and minds together and come together in worship. Join me in the responsive call to worship, please. Send me, Lord, that I may proclaim your truth.
Hear my voice, send me.
Give me courage, Lord, to stand firm always for your truth.
Hear my voice, send me.
Let me be true to your witness, that people may know that a prophet of God was here. Let us worship God. The hymn is Immortal, Invisible, God Only Wise, number 65.
In my
Let us pray together. Almighty God, it is your grace that has given us enough courage to lift our praises and our prayers unto you this day. It is your promises that when two or more are gathered in your name, you are present there in their midst. Grant us your desires. Hear our prayers as your people as we worship this day. That you might grant to those in this world knowledge of your truth, and to those in the world to come life everlasting. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior, our Lord, and the one who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Please be seated. And I believe Richard's going to come and lead us in a hymn sing today, which is a delight. A
couple weeks ago we had a hymn sing, and I guess everybody liked it, so they asked us to do another one. And some of you picked last time, some of you did not. If you picked 2 weeks ago, you're out today. You don't pick today. It's only the news and the people who didn't get picked. I know neither one of you got called. Right? I know what you want, Andy. I'm all set. You always do what I want first. That's in the rule book. 395, all hymns are one verse and one verse only. And you don't have to stand up. Isn't that neat? 395 is Love Lifted Me. You can be seated.
See you.
Amy's his second child, and has three, an older daughter and a younger son than Amy. Amy has asked that we sing "This Little Light of Mine." It's not a book. So we're going to do it a cappella, as much as you know. Marilyn's going to give us a note. 1, 2, 3, 4.
This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Let it shine.
I'm over here today first. You want to pick that?
Bill didn't pick? Yeah,
Bill over
there.
You want to pick Bill? Okay, Stanley's got my book in back.
Okay. Our lovers of God's creation.
What number is it?
Number 75.
75, number 75.
This is my Father's world.
This is my Father's world. But goody. That probably was written 200 years ago. We have one there, you know. 401.
Still on the roses, and the voice I hear.
choices, Donnie. 4, 5, 5.
Having so much fun here today. That was terrific. Well, if I see heads nodding in a little bit further down in the bulletin, maybe we'll shift back to hymn sing to bring you back into the room. This is a time for us now to come together and to celebrate and to give thanks and to praise God and to share those concerns that we have one for the other as we go before God in prayer. So let us just see if there are things you would like to hold up to the congregation today. Dottie? Wonderful. Congratulations. Yeah. That's a big deal. Yes.
I got a job interview.
Job. We're going to pray real hard. Yeah. Congratulations. Amy?
Yeah. I have a new boss at work. Her name is Tina. She's going to get a new baby in December.
Okay, we'll pray for her. A smooth pregnancy and lots of laughter. How about that?
Thanks, Dad.
Bill.
So, my neighbor has, on the 30th, he has eye surgery.
Ugh.
And I wanted to say a prayer for him.
Thank you. Eye surgery. Yes.
It's been only 10 days since we are in the States, and last Sunday we still didn't have a place to live.
Yes.
But this Sunday we have found an apartment, and also my daughter, we have found a daycare for her.
Excellent.
So I would like to find a lot for that.
You've had wonderful progress this week. So a new place to live, a new child care. Marilyn. Okay, I'll go this way and I'll go there. Marilyn's standing, so.
Two things. My friend Judy that we've been praying for, still having trouble with her balance, so the celebration, I see Mom Baker is here.
Yes. Good morning, Paul. So Paul's thanking us for his prayer, for your prayers and support, I believe. Is that right? Yep. Good. With the machine going here, I can almost hear. Yeah. Richard?
I give thanks for my daughter Beth and her husband Jim and their flying trip to Florida to take Emily to college. They were gone exactly 5 days, arrived at my house for dinner at 7:35 last night.
They planned it perfectly.
I was really all fooled thinking it was Uncle Todd coming.
Okay.
When the car drove in the driveway, she went, Mom and Dad!
That's great. Great. Yeah.
I think we all need to remember the people down in Texas.
Yes.
At this time, it's just awesome.
Yes. Hang on, you've already had a turn. Yes.
My sister Beth is still going on chemotherapy.
Thank you. Still continuing the treatments. And Judy has one.
I'll pray for Jill Dahl, and then she transitions into assisted living tomorrow.
Okay. So if you couldn't hear that, Joy Alderman, who once was the associate minister here, I think, is and visitor and is moving to assisted living tomorrow. Okay. Yes.
I want to pray for our friend Katie King, who's now engaged to be married.
Okay. Yes.
My oldest great grandson turned 13 yesterday. He's one of five great grandchildren. So.
Wow.
It's hard to believe.
I noticed.
Yeah. Well, thank you for lifting those joys and concerns. Let us join our hearts and go before God in prayer. Let us pray. Thank you. O loving God, when you first created our universe, our world, it was a paradise filled with wonder and mystery, so much waiting to be explored, discovered, and enjoyed. All that you made is truly good. We also know that as the ages have progressed, we have experienced the rebellion and the challenges of dwelling in this place. And what was created to be beautiful sometimes becomes tainted, sometimes abused, sometimes misused. But you have come into our world yet again through our Savior, your Son, Jesus the Christ, to ensure that your love shall never die, that your beauty and mystery and wonder will always be sustained. Help us to see each aspect of life as evidence of your love. Remove from us self-deception or illusion that allows us to think that we can be all self-sufficient or all-knowing. Lead us, O God, through the difficult times of our life, and protect us from the dangers that would destroy our well-being or our relationship with you. Indeed, we come together today as your people, as a people of faith, a people connected one to the other through the power of your Spirit, a people centered on helping one another and being your presence in this world. Indeed, a people raised up to new life in Christ. We lift so many prayers today before you. Some are celebrations of those things that occur in life that we enjoy and celebrate together. Birthdays, a 13-year-old great-grandson, engagements, new marriages, new hopes and dreams, new jobs, and the hope that that brings. We also give thanks for your healing presence at times when we're faced with challenges around our health. And so we pray for those who are receiving medical treatment or under surgery or have just had surgery, that indeed the medical interventions may in fact be able to sustain and assist and to lift the quality of life for those we love. We celebrate your presence here in this place, but we are also aware that there are those who are suffering in other places. Particularly today, we pray for those who are in the midst of that horrendous storm in Texas, and the flooding and the rain, and the challenges that they are experiencing. May your hand of love touch them and give them strength. Grant us faith. Hasten the day when we shall experience your paradise each and every day, that it might be restored. Give us hope, that we might know of your power and understand that living in your Spirit is basking in your glory and your holy light. O God, our hearts speak out with joy and hope and faith and love. Thank you for this time that we might celebrate these gifts together. Hear our prayers, for we ask them through Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Amen. indeed we celebrate our faith and our time and our community together. It's an opportunity for us to share that which God has given. And so indeed we worship God with our gifts and our offerings. As we are gathered as your people this day, you lift our hearts and our spirits, O God. We are so privileged to come to a place such as this, to share the lives of the people here, to feel the power of your Spirit, to offer these gifts. May indeed the power of your love and spirit be extended beyond us because of what we've done. For it is in your power that we find greatness. We give you thanks, O God, through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
One of those Sundays when some of us have two jobs. I got to lead the hymn sing, and now I get to read the scripture, which is a wonderful privilege to do that. The first scripture is from the book of Psalms, and this is one of the Psalms of David. It's number 24, and we're going to read the whole thing. It's not very long. It's only 10 verses. And I use the New International Version, so if it's a little different than what you're familiar with, you might hear some different words. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. For he founded it upon the seas and established it on the waters. Who may ascend the hill of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not lift up his soul to an idol or swear by what is false, he will receive blessing from the Lord and vindication from God his Savior. Such is the generation of those who seek him, who seek your face, O God of Jacob, Selah. Now, this is the really familiar part. Lift up your heads, O ye gates. Be ye lifted up, you ancient doors, that the King of Glory may come in. Who is this King of Glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O you gates. Lift them up, you ancient doors, that the King of Glory may come in. Who is he, this King of Glory? The Lord Almighty. He is the King of Glory. Selah. Now, from the New Testament, from the book of Matthew, chapter 8, verses 23 through 27. I'm going to make sure I'm in the right place here now. And this is Jesus calming the storm. Then he got into the boat, and his disciples followed him. Without warning, a furious storm came up over the lake, so that the waves swept over the boat. But Jesus was sleeping. The disciples went and woke him, saying, Lord, save us. We're going to drown. He replied, You of little faith. Why are you so afraid? Then he got up and rebuked the winds and the waves, and it was completely calm. The men were amazed and asked him, What kind of man is this? Even the winds and the waves obey him. May the Lord add his blessing to our reading of his word and our understanding of it.
When I was looking through my files, I came across this vignette that I had written many years ago. It was 5 o'clock in the morning. As I was snuggled in my tent, anticipating the excitement of the day to come, and half asleep, I heard something that sounded like footsteps. No, more like animal hooves. Several sets. They were coming closer, moving in the direction of my little tent. We were camped in a cove. I woke myself up and crept to my knees and peeked out the corner of the flap of the tent. We were on the edge of the lake. An eerie mist lay across it. The water was as still and looked like the glass of a mirror. The sun just peeking its head above the hills. I peered to the right and saw trees. I peered to the left. My mouth fell open. They were only 15 feet away. A huge cow moose and two calves. Probably in their usual routine, I was the intruder. I was the uninvited guest. The mother chomping steadily on the grass in the edge of the water as she nurtured the young life that was suckling their breakfast. I was frozen, sat motionless, breathing ever so quietly, hoping not to be detected, and yet filled with excitement. The wonder, the beauty of God's creation, like a morning fantasy. When morning gilds the sky, my heart awaking cries, may Jesus Christ be praised. Well, I wrote that on a trip that this church sent me on, up the Allegash in Maine. And there were children of people in this room who were with me. That was before you were even born. But this church had given me the task of enlisting young people to go on trips up the Allegash in the summertime. Those were some incredible days. We had a great big trailer back there with held canoes, and we had a room downstairs that was our place to store. We spent the whole year preparing, having dinners and car washes and fundraisers. And yes, I took neophyte, inexperienced campers that I met sometimes in the parking lot here during the week that were overflowing from the high school, and kids who were part of our youth group and went 200 miles away from any civilization. What was wrong with me? Those were some incredible times. And I know Jimmy Jacobson was with us, and Ann and Todd Freeman, and Buddy Hickey, and who else?
Not me.
Not you. That was before you were even born. David Anderson, others that have... Well, those were incredible times, and those memories still linger. And in particular, what a reason that I thought about this was when I was looking at the scripture, Matthew 8, that even the wind obeys him. Because there were other parts of the trip where, in fact, we did get caught in the wind and had to figure out how to get six canoes turned around and off back to the shore to be safe. And we were in the wilderness. We carried all of our food with us. None of this fly in the guide with the fancy steaks and all of that. We had all of the food we could carry. If the boat went over, the food went down. It was quite an experience, and an experience of faith, learning how to live and be a community together in our small community for those weeks. I came across an article recently about why millennials are leaving the church. This was written by a woman who was in her mid-30s and talking about what it is about the church for her generation that doesn't seem to connect, and what are they looking for. And she makes the point that there's an assumption among Christian leaders and evangelical leaders in particular that drawing 20-something people back to the church has something to do with edgier music and casual services or having a coffee shop in the fellowship hall. Or, she said, some people think it's the pastor wearing skinny jeans. I can tell you, it's not going to work for me.
No, it doesn't, Dad.
Or maybe it's an updated website. But she goes on to talk about that really, it's not that at all. It's not a change in style that people are looking for as much as it is a change in substance. She said they're looking for an end to the culture wars, a truce between science and faith. They want to know what they stand for, not just against. They don't want predetermined answers. They want to emphasize an allegiance to the kingdom of God, not about political perspectives or anything else. They want all of their friends to feel truly welcome in the faith community. They want to live lives of holiness. They want to be peacemakers. They don't want to go around with business as usual just to stick around. They don't want the church just to be cool. Because what they long for, she said, and I thought this was so profound, what they long for deep down is what we all long for, is an experience of the presence of God and the presence of Jesus in their lives. This is what millennials are looking for, she said. An authentic experience. That's what made me think about that time on the Allagash. Because we had stripped away all of the things. Of course, we didn't have the cell phones in those days.
Thank God.
But we had simply removed ourselves from all of the daily distractions and focused together on living together as a community of faith and experiencing the beauty of God's creation. And it's turned out to be a once-in-a-lifetime experience, probably for most of us, to have experienced those wild animals 15 feet from my tent. It was an experience of learning to pray real quick. We left Malden, drove 12 hours all night, started our trip. Mind you, these are kids that we had together. We had had one practice session out at Groton Wood for about an hour trying to figure out how do you paddle a canoe.
And Mom had me.
And then here we were faced with the wilderness. It truly was an experience like none other. We read the scripture, the biblical stories. We hear those authentic experiences of how people interacted with Jesus. We call them miracle stories, really. Jesus out on the Sea of Galilee. And at one point I got to go visit there too, so I can really picture what was happening. This lake in the bottom of what seems like a basin or a bowl. And the winds come over, the strongest winds of any place in the country, or in the world, they say. And they can come up instantly. So Jesus, with his 12, weather changes suddenly. We know a little about that, don't we? One day it seems nice, the next day not so much. We call that New England, right? Well, apparently it happens other places, because within just a short few moments, the wind came up, the seas roared, Jesus calmed the water, and they were amazed. He calmed the wind-tossed sea. In other stories, we learn that he commanded the demons to be silenced. He made those who were sick well again. He fed multitudes of hungry people. He had compassion on those who were not desirable in their society or their culture. The miracles of God, the power of God, the demonstrations of that power over the forces of this world that otherwise would keep us from knowing God's love. But then suddenly God's love breaks into our world, into our lives, and touches us in a way that proclaims God is not dead yet. He is alive. He has been raised from the dead. Jesus' earthly ministry, demonstrating this incredible power over the circumstances of life. In these days, we think a lot about power, don't we? We hear about power on a political level, and we hear about power on a military level, and we hear about power between different groups of people. We hear how people strive to use and abuse power. And then we are reminded that Jesus can stand and look and hold up his hands and calm those waters. His mighty power, a glorious triumph. Our faith has a sure foundation. Our faith is never in vain. Christ lives that we might live. God gives us hope and peace and the power to move and grow and live our lives in the fashion that God has called us to. We can face danger and we can overcome those odds with the power of God. When we were on the Allegash, we faced real danger. And if I had known now what I knew then, or how does that go? If I knew then what I know now, if I could remember now what I knew then, I don't know that I would have done what we did. Because it was pretty much sight unseen. We were living by faith and a little bit of ignorance. But God guided us. It was challenging. The force of nature was amazing and incredible. When we ran the rapids, I have to tell you, we didn't know what we were doing very much. And the rangers fortunately had convinced us to ship our belongings ahead in his truck, because three of the four canoes did go over in the rapids, and we had to figure it out. We took a group of greenhorns, myself included. Even though I had experience camping, I was not experienced in this level of camping. We had people who did not know how to cook meals. We had to learn how to cook meals out of the things we brought with us. We had people that had never really related closely to one another. But by the time the trips were over, the bond of friendship and love for one another was amazingly profound. I can remember one of the girls who really had never experienced anything like this. I don't think she had ever been away from home. And it was her job, because we assigned jobs, to get supper on the table. Oh, that was an experience. I don't know how. I've never done anything like that before. We worked together. We taught her some things. Within 2 days, all of a sudden, she was cutting wood, building fires. She was ready for any activity that we could give her. And her confidence just began to blossom. When God stands before us, even the wind obeys. Christ's power is in us. It strengthens us that we too might perform miracle after miracle in our lives, and be filled with his peace and appreciation for all that God has created in this world. We gained an appreciation for living as a community of people. We ventured forth with courage and confidence. We created deep bonds of caring and love and gracefulness and acceptance, and learned how to forgive each other's mistakes, because guess what? All of those meals were not very good. But they kept us nourished. Indeed, when God was present with us, we experienced the miracle of God in our lives. In unusual kinds of ways, Christ has made himself known to us. In the incredible beauty of this world, which we so often miss, in the joy that we share in our relationships with each other, in the power of prayer when we pray one for the other, whether it be healing or celebration or strength, we venture forth triumphantly and gloriously with the ability to face those things unknown, even at times the dangers we did not see. So I have this imagination that we are all in canoes together, and that we are on the lake, and whether it's the still, calm sea of the morning or the rustled sea of the wind coming across, that God's power, mighty power, his triumph, glorious, gives us the strength to overcome whatever comes our way, the challenges of our life. That's what people are seeking. They want to know that Jesus is in our lives, and that God is at work in this world through the power of his Spirit and the power of his love. That's what the millennials are telling us. Forget the skinny jeans. Just show me the love of God.
And the love of daughters.
And the love of daughters. And let us pray together. Oh God, you are all powerful. You give us strength. You give us hope. You give us the ability to live in triumphant ways. Help us to discover your presence in our lives and be renewed this day. And to recognize your power greater than the wind and greater than all that can get in our way. Grant us the calm breeze of your loving spirit and the confidence to live life, that we indeed can triumph through faith. For we ask it through Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Let us sing together as we close our service. Number 474, O Love That Wilt Not Let Me Go.
Oh boy.
Live according to the Spirit. Set your minds on the things of the Spirit. Set your mind to the Spirit that allows us to live with hope and peace and love. And may the power of God that passes all understanding keep our hearts and our minds together in Him today and for all of the days to come. Go in God's peace. Amen.
Amen. Amen.